You know that feeling of when you do your first like act of teenage rebellion? It feels like that. That rush when you first defy your parents or your teachers or religious leaders or whoever it is. I get that rush.
Normal is an insidious concept that forces us to try to fit its parameters in order to not get left behind. For a lot of us, that means constant small checks and tweaks to make sure we're still acceptable. All those checks and tweaks over time add up. It's exhausting, and sometimes no matter what, you can't keep up. Normalcy feels like a landslide collapsing on you. In those awful moments, finding something, a friend, a book, anything, to show you that normal isn't such a normal thing after all, can be life-saving. Hope you guys enjoy this not-so-normal episode. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Oh My God, We're All on Fire, a podcast about how we're all on fucking fire. Hi, I'm Alex Schiffman, and this is also called At Least There's This, a podcast about some of the small good things in our world of fucking fire. Everything is on fire right now. If you guys are listening to this in some distant future, you're like, what do you mean? Of course everything's on fire. Planet Earth is a fire planet. Well, it didn't used to be. When I grew up in the 90s and early 2000s, planet Earth was mostly a ground planet and a water planet, and there was also air and occasionally fire. But then the Fire Nation took over, and the Fire Nation was bad protection of our environment and also air and energy companies that had bad wires, and then all of California is on fire. That's the world we're living in. I'm so sorry to all of you. But in a world where everything is on fucking fire, at least there's
Strangers with Candy.
Hi guys, I'm with Anna Michaels, an incredible writer, someone who writes for BunnyEars.com, formerly of Cracked, a fantastic comedian all around.
Oh, not formerly of Cracked. I accused someone at Cracked of sexual misconduct, and that's why everyone thinks I have the Cracked credit.
Holy shit, I thought you had the Cracked credit too. I'm so sorry. Let me take
that
back.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. I actually honestly love that.
Do you want me to keep that in, or do you want me to take that back?
I do not give a shit. I do not care.
Okay. Awesome. So, not formerly of Cracked. I got that wrong, but
formerly of The Hard Times, Paste, Reductress, Shout Factory, a bunch of things that are not Cracked. Yeah.
That's so funny, because I came to your work through Bunny Ears, and I came to Bunny Ears through Cracked. So I was like, oh, everybody, clearly, yeah.
Yeah, most people at Bunny Ears did come through Cracked.
So that's my bad. Thank you for setting me straight.
No, a lot of people think that I used to work at Cracked because of that, and it's nice. It's nice that people think I can do journalism.
We don't think you can do journalism. We know you can do journalism.
Thank you.
So tell my audience a little bit more about yourself, other than that you didn't work for that website you didn't work for.
I write for a lot of other places. I do stand-up. I was raised by therapists, which is why the stand-up. And I'm a native LA person, actually.
Oh,
which
that's
is
news
pretty
to me.
Yeah, that's pretty rare that you get someone in this industry who grew up here, it kind of sucks because like, if you fail, you don't get to go back home.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like if I fail, I can go back to Ohio, and I'm like a big fish in a small pond.
Exactly.
Back there. But you just
I just grew up in a big pond in a like ocean.
Right.
Yeah.
Where do you go, Pasadena?
I'm kind of already there. It's
it's lovely. It is Space City.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where I go. Ventura County, maybe.
So you're a writer. You're a comedian. So when did you come to the entertainment world?
I don't know.
Okay.
This was something that I started doing like organically before I knew it was a thing, which is every comic story. Like, you pass cartoons to friends, and you're that kid that every teacher hates before you actually realize you can turn that into something.
Teacher hate into money?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yes. Yeah. So I don't know if middle school talent shows count. I have been doing stand-up for a long-ass time.
Did you do stand-up at your middle school talent show?
I was not bullied for 2 whole weeks.
Oh, wait. They didn't bully you because you did stand-up for your middle school talent show?
Right?
Your bullies had shit backwards.
I know.
Yeah, I did stand-up at my high school talent show, and oh boy, that's when they knew about me. Like, wait, who's this kid? We could pick on this guy? Oh, this is great. This kid is fresh meat. So that takes me to a question I'm very curious about, being willing to do stand-up at a middle school talent show. Hannah, are you an optimist, pessimist, neither, both, whatever?
I am probably the ultimate pessimist.
Oh, that's so great. I so rarely get pessimists on this show.
I have panic disorder, which means that, like, if I think there's a problem, even if it really is a problem, I take it to the worst extreme. And any solution you offer me, I will find a reason it is bad. If you compliment me, I will find a reason it is creepy. I've had, like, a little while back, one guy said to me, your comedy reminds me of Woody Allen, and another guy said, this is giving me Ren and Stimpy vibes. Great, now I'm a sex criminal.
I mean, to be fair, the Woody Allen thing begs the question.
It really does, but still, that's my brain. It takes everything into something bad.
So is that purely a product of neurological stuff, or is that also a personality thing, or can you not untangle the two?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea. Being raised by therapists probably didn't help.
I don't know if that's ever helped any child.
They're very critical people. They're not the... they can't separate work from family. But neither can comics, so hey.
Right.
Tie my tubes.
Oh, God. Therapy and comedy do kind of have a connection,
I feel.
Because it's a lot about criticism and about, like, judging other things and trying to, like, point out flaws maybe in a constructive way. Although comedy does feel oftentimes less constructive than therapy.
Yes. Yeah, but I feel like the field of psychology has got the first part down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Diagnosis mm-hmm. is easy. Finding out what's wrong with someone, that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Fixing it is hard. And they don't have that shit down yet.
Yeah.
They're trying, getting better every day, helps a lot of people. They do not have that shit down yet. It is not a hard science.
Right. It feels like kind of they're swinging in the dark a lot of times.
They really are. And so is comedy in a lot of ways.
The difference is comedy, if you swing in the dark and you miss, then it's like, oh, well, they're just not that good. Or, like, whatever, I trust them, but they had a rough time. Therapy, it's if you swing in the dark and you miss, it's like, science is a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know.
Therapy, you swing in the dark and you miss. I was 40 pounds in seventh grade because of Wellbutrin. It's bad.
Yeah.
it's real bad. But, you know, we all try.
Yeah, we do. So what does your pessimism, what does that look like in your day-to-day outside of, you know, maybe a grander viewpoint on life?
I will find anything that goes wrong into a reason why I am bad.
Mm.
And I think that's why Strangers with Candy resonated so much.
So, Strangers with Candy, I've probably watched an episode or two. Will you kind of catch me up on the show itself? Yeah.
Okay, so Amy Sedaris plays a junkie prostitute who is 43 years old and goes back to high school to start her life over again. It has Stephen Colbert before he was famous, Paul Dinello, Greg Holloman, what's the name of the woman who doesn't age and is on Adult Swim now? Red hair. I don't know. Maria Thayer. Okay.
Oh, right.
Yeah. She does not age. She has magic skin. I want to peel it off and stick it on my face.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Continue,
I'm sorry, Maria.
Please.
Anyway, yeah, she actually looks younger now than she does in this series where she is playing a teenager. Anyway, it was the first time I'd ever seen, because I went to like school in Beverly Hills and middle school, like all these girls were, you know, some of them were already getting like surgery and shit.
Really?
Like there were, yeah, it was intense. And then I was this gross fuck, and you watch Amy Sedaris make herself as disgusting as possible for the role. She, like, only half a fat suit, because that is worse. Like, she makes herself as conventionally unattractive as possible and is as gross and sexual and horrifying as she can possibly be, and it is fucking beautiful. It is liberating and insane and hilarious and wonderful, and I don't know. It's one of the best things I've ever seen.
So it sounds like it was something you came upon when everything else you were getting was like, I don't know if this was around then, but like Pretty Little Liars.
Yes. Exactly.
Everything else was like sanitized or commercialized for like, this is what everything ought to be. This is what you need to be. And there's, if you're not like this, you don't even exist.
Yeah. And this is what girls need to be. And like back then there was no, there was no like acknowledgement of bisexuality. And if there was, it was like, oh, but I'm super sanitized and monogamous. And like, Jerry is just fucking gross with everybody. She is just horrifyingly disgusting with everyone she comes across. And it feels so good to watch that. You can tell that this is the kind of show that you can tell they were doing for the fun of it.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's a Comedy Central show, Comedy Central was fairly new. They didn't have much of a budget. And there are little jokes that it's the kind of thing that you watch over and over again and pick up on new jokes. You know, the flyers around the high school are always some sort of joke. Every little thing has thought put into it and fun put into it. And I don't get the sense that it's the kind of thing where usually you say things are ahead of their time.
Mm-hmm.
This is outside any time. I don't think Comedy Central would greenlight this today.
I like that. That's really interesting. What about it is so untenable, you think?
There are a lot of things that are untenable. I think politically you can't really have these characters exist on any side of the political spectrum. Because, you know, she says junkie whore, not sex worker, but she's a junkie whore. So you can't, and no part of America is going to be okay with this. So
there's no one who wants to accept.
There's no one who wants this.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of making something for yourself and not for anyone else. If you are a book publisher, please call me. I've had a lot of no's. But I do love the idea of just doing comedy for the fun of it. And sometimes I get really sad and like bogged down by how hard it is to fit whatever your particular voice is into a certain mold. And that is a step in comedy that everyone has to take, and that is something that everyone has to learn to be a good comic. But it's nice to go back to something like this and see someday there will be freedom to do that.
Is that something that Amy Sedaris had to do as well? Like, do you know about her path to this? And then beyond now, because now she still works.
She's still doing stuff like that. I don't think Amy Sedaris has ever not done what she wants, just even based on reading like her brother's books. She is incredibly inspiring, because I don't think that she has ever created something that she didn't want to create, and that's rare. That's really rare. you got to be really good and really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
For that to happen. Like, At Home with Amy Sedaris is amazing. It's going to be like Strangers with Candy, probably, where people are going to go back to it later and appreciate it later. Because I don't know how many people are watching it now, but it's really fucking good.
There's a certain type of person I've had on this podcast who tends to flock to the things that people in its time find weird. I've had people on talking about Bjork. I've had people talking about, I guess, the Coen brothers a little bit more popular, but certainly sometimes their films are like, I don't know if I am into this. But then in retrospect, people come back to it and they're like, oh shit, that was great. Like,
yeah.
And we missed that. This might be I might be asking a lot of you, and I'm sorry, but do you think you can see what it is that you're able to see why you are liking this thing when the rest of your peer group is probably like, what the fuck is this noise?
Yeah. This came at a time when women in comedy had one line in every movie, and it was, you guys! And that was it. Like we just existed to be hot in comedy. And if you were not hot, you were not in comedy. Or you were on radio between two shouting men going, you guys! So it was really cool. Like, I know that there were women doing a lot of badass shit then, but not as much as today.
Yeah.
Not nearly as much as today. You know, even in the past 5 years, I've seen worlds of change. And when women were in big comedy roles and they weren't, you know, the classic pretty, you know, Adam Sandler's love interest for some reason. Why? Why?
Yeah.
I don't.
Gave me really unreal expectations what a schlubby Jewish man like myself ought to expect in a love interest. You're talking about roles for
even
women.
Even at times when they were very mainstream voices, they were back when Roseanne was a mainstream voice. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, the world was on fucking fire, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like, it, you know, even Ellen was a mainstream voice. Amy Sedaris is not a mainstream voice. And Stephen Colbert has become one. But the way he fit into this show is kind of the way his voice fit into this show is perfect, and it fits into this show in an entirely different way than it fits into anything else he's ever done.
So did that inspire you then as a young woman wanting to get into comedy, that there was a space for your weird?
Yeah, it really did. I wasn't even thinking about comedy at that point. It was literally just, there's a place for me to exist. It was literally that. It was, there are people out there like me who exist.
How did you get that from the show?
I don't know. Just the way that I don't know how to describe this. Okay. My parents forced me to undergo a lot of therapy because I was not normal. My brain was not normal. And they made me do this EEG thing, and it was apparently for migraines, but they stick a bunch of electrodes in your heads. And I thought they were reading my thoughts. And because I thought they were reading my thoughts, I thought the most disgusting sexual things like you could possibly... like, no hentai has ever come close to what... And then you see a character.
For those
like,
of you who don't know what she just said, I want you to take tonight
yeah.
off and just go figure out what hentai is.
Yeah.
Back to the interview.
To just see a character like Jerry, that someone was turning those thoughts into something and fitting it into society, fitting it into the world, making money from this, making a life from this, like, gave me so much hope, even though the series was canceled, like, real quick. yeah, it just gave me a lot of hope.
Was there something like, oh my God, someone else thinks
like
me?
Yeah, it was a lot of that. It was a lot of, and particularly other women think like me. Because I didn't get that. Like, I would like, pass notes in class, and they'd be, like, gross old, you know, jokes that I would call hacky now, but whatever. I was in middle school. Stop beating yourself
up. Yeah, a hacky joke for a middle schooler is like a slam dunk if you're able to get past,
seriously,
like, the normal shit that middle schoolers do.
And, you know, the boys would kind of laugh and be like, oh, you're weird because you're a girl, but they would kind of laugh. And the girls would just, like, don't even hand this to me.
Uh-huh.
So it really felt vindicating, and I know that it felt that way for a lot of people. I know that show did that for so many people.
Is that is there, like, a community around the show still?
I think there is. I'm
okay.
Sure there is. I haven't really looked into it, but I've had that moment with friends where you bring it up and there's that, like, oh, fuck yes, I remember this. Like,
mm-hmm.
There is that, definitely. There's that bonding experience that you get when you meet someone else.
What does that feel like? Is it kind of like a shorthand to, like, I get you?
A little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little bit. I had a watch party at my ex's house a while back, and it felt really nice to see all these people, like, discovering this for the first time. And
that is so nice, isn't it? When there's something that's really special to you, and you have friends who don't know it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're opening up your head to them. You're like, here, look at this. I can't say it with my stupid mouth.
Yeah.
Or dance it, you know, or, like, play it on an instrument. But you can sit down and engage in this thing with me, and you'll kind of get something I'm trying to explain.
I got to be this entire party's obnoxious boyfriend, and it felt amazing.
Oh, it's so nice when you get to be the obnoxious boyfriend to, like, 20 different people.
Yeah.
Yeah, your farts are what's upsetting everyone. So it's something that you still go back to now, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever I feel discouraged, like, where do I fit in the comedy world?
Mm-hmm.
I always get so close to making it, and that's a lot of people. A lot of people get so close to making it, and either they get so close a bunch of times and then they do, or they get mm-hmm. so close a bunch of times and then it tapers off.
And they go back home, which you can't do.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, and it's like every time I feel like I have this thing, I know it's good, and I've literally gotten this from literary agents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laughing. I don't know how to market this.
So this is a book you're trying to get published?
Yeah, this is a book I wrote a while ago. Or, like, I think this is funny. I don't know where to put this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who would buy this.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I'm feeling like I don't know who would buy me as a person, I go back to watching that shit, and it feels really great.
Does it feel great because someone bought it, or because, well, it exists and I don't feel so alone?
Really the second one.
Yeah?
Just that it exists, it's out there, and it makes me feel like, you know, in the comedy sense, it makes me feel like, oh, there's an audience. But as a person, it's very comforting as well.
Why? Can you unspool that a bit?
I don't know if I can. This character is truly detestable, by the way. Like, she's... there are a lot of thoughts... I should preface this by saying that there are a lot of thoughts she has I do not share.
But is that Amy Sedaris having those thoughts, or the character?
No, it's the character.
Okay.
It's the character. No, and it's 100% the character just, like, being the worst person she can be. And that's really what I connected with, is that this is someone creating the worst person she can imagine, and doing the worst. Like, these are people making art out of disgust, turning, like, trash into treasure, and that felt so great. But that means there's a lot of trash in there.
Okay, this might be a bridge too far, but it sounds like you have a lot of negative thoughts about yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
sure. Oh, yeah.
When you stumbled upon this, were you like, "Well, I'm kind of trash, and they've turned this trash into treasure. Maybe I'm treasure."
No, kind of. Yeah, no, it was kind of like, "Oh, I can make this something." Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could make this something. You know, I could, and I'm, you know, kind of working on a character that is kind of similar in some ways, and that it's just the worst human being I could possibly think of, and it's parts of myself I hate and parts of other people I hate. And every comic does this at some point. They have that character that they create, and it's unique to their own life experience, but they have that character that's just the worst possible human being to them. And it just, yeah, I don't know.
That is interesting to think that every comic has their worst person, and they're all similar, but they're all different, because it is like, it's like a key. There's a phrase from Roland Barthes that I love about like how wrestlers through wrestling help like show the mythology of the world around them. And mm-hmm. So a comedian being such a detestable person is like a key to nature, but it's their specific window to it, where Amy Sedaris is garbage person and Stephen Colbert's, you know, garbage person are very different, but they're similar. But it's like, this is the worst part of the world to me.
Yeah.
Right.
And the worst part of society, because there are a lot of parts of Jerry that aren't disgusting that the world is disgusted by. And then every part of Jerry that is disgusting, nobody cares about.
They
and
all
that's,
love.
They all, it's that part of what's so hilarious about the show is how the students in this school interact with this 46-year-old junkie whore who is going to school with them, and how that's normal to them, and how so many of the disgusting things she says are normal, and what isn't normal to them is that's part of the brilliance of the show, is just that reflection on, you know, their views of what society was like.
So was it also kind of playing on the like the high school sitcoms of the era a little bit?
It was playing on after school specials.
Oh, okay.
It was very much a play on after school specials, and you can really feel that.
Just, and like, did they use like saccharine
yes.
language a lot?
Well, not yes, yes. And there's always a lesson that Jerry learns at the end. There's
okay.
a monologue in the beginning and a monologue at the end, and in the end, she learns the wrong lesson, but it's the lesson that society taught her.
Oh, that's really cool. So it was, as much of it was a show about disgusting people, it was also a key to nature. It was also looking
yes.
at what was going on in society at the time and taking shots at it.
Yeah.
And did you feel when you were watching it, and even still today, like, sometimes I feel when someone says something, even if it's something I've always felt, the fact that they've said it helps me kind of contextualize it and think, you know, it becomes a quantity I can think about, right? A solid thing I can keep in my brain. And watching it when they were taking like pot shots at stuff, where you're like, yes, now I know how to think about that thing that's always bothered me. Was it something like that?
Yeah, to some degree.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's an episode with like born again virgins and stuff like that, and we're coming in a time when women in comedy were not generally horny unless it was like a show for ladies, you know. Like, how do I explain this?
Can you give an example of what a show for ladies
like
would
Sex
have
in
been?
The City?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, the women on Friends were like, they kind of liked sex, I guess. But how do I explain this? Like, there was no Tina Belcher.
Right, yeah. Like, female sexuality was a cloistered event. It happened behind the bamboo curtain with women talking to each other, but it didn't happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. and let alone like fetishistic, nasty ass female sexuality, like Jerry's.
Yeah, female sexuality growing up watching TV always felt like the norm, and male sexuality felt perverse. And that's how it was always seemed to be played. Like, women want normalcy, and male sexuality is disgusting.
Yeah.
Where
and that's horrible for everybody.
For everybody, yeah. It sucked for everybody, but it seemed like female sexuality was so diminished,
yeah.
Vanilla and narrow to,
yeah.
It's just, you know, a hunky fireman,
yeah.
And missionary,
yeah.
And
I hate uniforms. It's not you.
Why would you wear suspenders to bed, hunky fireman? And that hat, it's just gonna make you sweat. You're gonna get a weird acne line.
I don't know. It's not, if you call it your hose, I'm not going to get wet. That's ironic, but it's true.
Right. It's also, those are famously hard to control. We're talking about female sexuality in TV shows.
Yes, thank you for bringing it back.
Yeah, you know, I got it. I like blind alleys, but I'll always get it back.
Thank you. Jerry is a freak the likes of which... Jerry Blank could walk into, like, the world's worst BDSM Nazi furry convention and scare the shit out of people. By the way, there is a big divide between regular furries and Nazi furries.
God,
not all furries
it.
Are Nazis.
That sucks. That fucking sucks so much. I'm sorry, I have to take a fucking digression. Fuck that there are
They've
Nazi
They've taken over
furries.
Everything!
God fucking damn it. Everything cool is becoming Nazified now. This fucking sucks. Ah! Okay, continue. I'm not saying that furries are across the board cool. It's just like, I've met some really nice furries. All right? If you go to Burning Man, you'll meet them. They're cool as fuck. And that sucks that
Most
their community is
nice.
Also Nazified.
Yeah, I don't know much, but same. I've met a few people and they seem fine. I don't know why everything has Nazis now.
Yeah, why do Nazis get to say all this other shit sucks except for the stuff you hate stuff. You're a Nazi, you don't like shit. That's
yeah.
what you are.
Yeah. You know what Hitler would say if he came down to a Nazi furry convention? Like, I'm sorry.
I honestly don't, because Hitler was a weird
know.
Fucking freak. But
he
like,
was, he
yeah.
was. He was he actually, okay, you're right.
Yeah, he was what?
He was real gross with his knees.
With his knees or niece?
Niece.
God. Oh, with the like the glass table thing?
Oh, I don't even know about that.
God, Hitler, fuck it. I mean, let's...
How
let's,
did we get here? How did we,
Godwin's law is how we got here. Putting aside the
Godwin's
fact...
Godwin's law does not... Okay, I'm sorry. Since Trump became president, fuck Godwin's law.
Just since Trump became president. Yeah, it's all exhausting. It's all... Oh my God, the world's on fire.
Yeah.
Let's talk more
let's
about
go back
female
to
sexuality.
Two Jews talking
in,
about...
Two Jews talking
Strangers
about
with
yeah.
candy.
Oh, you just made me by the nose? I didn't tell you I was Jewish.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, right, because Adam Sandler.
Because of Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I could have assumed, since both of your parents were therapists, that you were also Jewish.
Yes.
Yeah. You blend. You pass. You're a daywalker.
Do I?
Yeah.
Am I a daywalker?
Because
the Hasidic Jews on Fairfax would tell you differently.
Well, they'll go after everybody. The one time I can get what it is like to be... a woman every day is when I'm walking
is when you're
Greenpoint,
walking down.
Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yeah, come pray with us. Like,
yeah,
God, I don't need it. We're talking about female sexuality, not Hasidic Jewish sexuality,
which is weird as fuck.
So
by the
fucking
way.
Weird.
Repression
yeah.
breeds weirdness.
But boy, can those guys dance, huh? They're great at dancing.
They are great at dancing.
Yeah, very religious groups that aren't Christian can fucking dance.
Yeah. It's the fun they're allowed.
You're right. It is the fun they're allowed, but it's so much. It's better fun. I think if you're only allowed a certain amount of fun, that fun is more. It's like closing your mouth when you sneeze. It's all forced out that one place. It just feels better. You ever done that? You ever closed
yeah.
your mouth when you sneeze?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, it feels good.
It does.
Okay, what? Fuck, how did? I said I was cool with blind alleys. But I don't know. I didn't know I was this cool.
Okay.
Then.
Ask me something else about Stranger Things. Okay. Candy. Let's bring it here.
Okay. How often do you rewatch it?
I have to forget some of the jokes, so I go back every, like, 5 years.
Okay. How long has it been since you watched it?
Only a few days.
Okay.
I've been real down recently, and it's really kind of perked me up, and I always wait for that moment.
So it's sort of like a surefire thing to perk you back up?
Yeah.
Is it because of it, or is it because it's become something to you? Does that make sense?
I think both.
Okay.
I think definitely both. But it's definitely become the thing that reminds me that I'm not alone.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell me more about that.
I don't know. It's... I feel alone a lot, and it's not that I don't have friends, because I've had friends remind me, hey, we're your friends. Like, I literally had a bunch of friends this year get together and take a picture of themselves and hand it to me to be like, look, you have fucking friends.
Wow, that's really nice.
It was very sweet. I was really grateful. But for some reason, I feel isolated all the time, and mm-hmm. it brings me back to the time when I actually was isolated and saw this thing that made it okay.
Interesting. So you almost feel that same feeling you felt when you first, how old were you when you first came upon it?
I'd say like 12.
Okay. So do you almost feel like you at 12 again?
A little bit. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely like end of elementary school, beginning of middle school. Mm-hmm. It felt like there are some weird ass fucking people out there that don't go to your Beverly Hills middle school. That it felt really great. And I know a lot of people have that one comedy thing that did that for them.
Yeah. This is something I've been asking people sometimes on the show, and it's with certain things it makes sense. But can you kind of describe the feeling of watching it? And I know this is you're rolling your eyes like, God damn it, this like
I'm only rolling my eyes because I filled out 60 pages of therapy intake paperwork today, and it's a lot of describe the feeling
Jesus,
of blank on
I'm
a
sorry.
Scale from 1 to
don't,
10.
Don't do that at all. Can you do the opposite of that?
I absolutely
then?
Will.
Okay.
I absolutely will, because this is a fun question that is not open-ended and won't make them think I have OCD because they phrased it wrong. It feels like, I don't know. You know that feeling of when you do your first like act of teenage rebellion? It feels like that. That rush when you first defy your parents or your teachers or religious leaders or whoever it is. I get that rush from watching that.
What does that rush feel like?
Just defiance and strength and adrenaline. And it's my friend Vanessa Gritton had this presentation about the character assassination of Britney Spears by the Coward Media. And like, and she has this point where she goes like, you know, Britney screams into the void and the void screams back, it's Britney, bitch. And it's Vanessa talking about finding your own. It's Britney, bitch. That's what this show feels like. Fuck all of you. That's what it feels like.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. It sounds like subversiveness.
Yes.
Is the thing.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Okay, we are getting close to the end, and I want to, before we go into plugs and all that nonsense, I want to tie it up with a way I like to sort of conceptualize these things. And that's, I think I emailed you about it, but it's the big and the little G.
Yeah.
So little G is kind of what we've been talking about, but if you can button that up with maybe a nail, that would be great. And you don't button things with a nail. Fuck, this whole fucking episode is ruined.
We're Jews. We don't know tools.
But we once did. When back when my grandfather was fighting in the 40 Years' War. I don't know anything about Jewish history anymore. I'm so over it.
It feels like there are years and days. I shut up, Grandpa. Yeah. I know you're lying.
Shut up, Grandpa. I love both of my grandfathers, but shut it.
I love the one who's dead.
Oh, no. That's beautiful and touching. If you could button it up with a button, but then also there's the big G good, which is like, how is this, the fact that this exists almost morally, philosophically, an argument against the idea that the universe would be better off without Earth.
Right. The phrase art for art's sake is thrown around a lot, and there's really no such thing when you have a network producing something and a bunch of people, but it's as close as you can get, I think. When you have that many people involved and that much money, even though it was a low-budget show, when you have something on TV that is available in every home that gets Comedy Central that's like that, that is as close as you can get to art for art's sake, and I think that is beautiful and a relief for a lot of people. And it is the last thing the aliens will ever understand when they come to Earth. It Strangers with Candy will be the last thing they comprehend. Guarantee it.
Okay. So that'll be the thing that they have people like in the Sarah Lawrence of 3036 trying to understand our philosophy through.
They will get so much reference humor before they get Strangers with Candy. It's unlike any... It's like some things now. But it's unlike anything that I as a kid ever saw at the time, and it's unlike anything a lot of kids saw at the time.
All right. Beautiful. Let's take this baby home. Let's do plugs.
Fuck yeah.
And if you have anything, this is something I've been doing after I did an episode with Dan O'Brien. If you have anything that has nothing to do with you that you also think people ought to know about or read or something, that is... plug you and it.
Okay.
Because I think that's sort of a good that people can do.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mentioned Vanessa Gritton earlier. She has a podcast called Brouhaha, which is a pun because it's all Latina comics. Talking about Latin American culture in a super funny way because they're super funny people. And, anything Vanessa does is kind of gold. And what else? What do I have to plug? I will be at the CBT/DBT California Therapy Center for the next month. And visiting hours are, I don't know. I have not kept track of this shit. I imagine I will write something that goes up at Bunny Ears at some point. So okay, check out that site.
Bunny Ears is where where can people find your work?
My Twitter is Hannah Michaels. It's at HannaMichels. I know. I can't. I tried. They don't. I have two middle names and one has a Z in it. I did make it easier for you. This is the best I can do.
Thank you. We all appreciate your hard work. So go find Hannah's articles. They're really funny. They're really good. I've been reading them for a while now since we met. On a Twitch stream. You're very talented. And for me, check out the podcast Science Versus. It's good shit. I highly recommend it. That's my thing that has nothing to do with me. My thing that had stuff to do with me is this podcast. So if you guys liked it, this episode or any other, share it with a friend. If you are a mid-40s prostitute and you're about to go back to high school to turn your life around and you're in the enrollment process, but you're waiting, do this one thing for me. Pull out your phone, go to wherever you find your podcasts, find At Least There's This, give me 5 stars, share it with a friend, and then enjoy your life of teenage hijinks. Thank you, guys. You've been wonderful, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.